The scripture that you will find on the back of your bulletin today is the New King James Version. I try to use different versions occasionally just to help introduce you. Now, there are folks who come to the Lifeway Christian store and they say, I want to buy a Bible. And I say, well, what kind of Bible would you like? And they have a specific translation that they want. And that's very good. It's very good to have one that you like. But we've got several different translations that are being used in this congregation. And so I use different ones just to kind of help us see some of the different ones. In the New King James, John 10 says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come, who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. I always have a bit of a hope that the messages that I bring to you every Sunday morning are helpful in some way to you, because the Spirit of God has spoken to you individually in some way. That's my hope. It's also my hope that you find some organization in these messages, something that helps you see a pattern of ideas and thoughts that give you Bible truths that bring you closer in your relationship to God, the God who loves you and wants life to be full and meaningful for you. So I try to do what many pastors do, preach several messages in a short sequence of a few weeks that carry a singular theme that's biblical in nature. And that means I assume that you'll be here in church every Sunday, or most of the time on Sundays, and that these themes or these series of sermons have at least a couple of things. One, that the theme or the topic with three or four messages is understandable, and that I, your preacher, tie them together somehow. And two, that I provide you with some ideas or points that relate those two or three or four messages to each other. And I, you know, trying to do these things for you depend, and this is true, I depend heavily on guidance from God. I depend on what I really believe to be the Holy Spirit's inspiration coming to me. And I was guided to that very early in my pastoral experience by fellow pastors who shared with me that they had learned that spiritual dependency and the reality is there that God actually does lead. So if you were here last Sunday, and almost all of you were, I have this hope that you might have a bit of a recall that last Sunday I began a new multi-series of messages, multi-weeks, on words, names Jesus used to describe himself as the Son of God, as the Messianic Savior that had long been promised to the people of God in the Jewish holy writings, as the scriptures that they had. And he used simple words, often a single word, to explain who he was and what he does. And these were clear and plain enough that the writers of the Gospels heard them and understood them and recorded them in their writings for us to receive and to develop our understanding. So I'll just ask you, try hard, put on your memory cap, recall now with me that the word for Jesus that was last week's message was the way. Remember that? Our key scripture text was John 14. And there in verse 6, Jesus said to his disciples, gathered with him in that upper room around that first Lord's Supper table, he said, I am the way. And we looked at many ways that that word characterizes Jesus, then and now. And I really don't expect you to remember this sequence, but we looked at Jesus the Christ as the way out, as the way in, as the way through, and the way up. Now, I only remind you of that because today, as we study Jesus as the door, we will, as I conclude this message, again follow that pattern as the door out, the door in, the door through, and the door up. To continue the idea of a singular word characterizing Jesus, next week it will be the bread, and then the final Sunday of October it will be life. Jesus is the life. That, of course, is only a small number of what we might call word pictures that Jesus gave us. But I think by offering a few of these at a time with you, perhaps those will stick with you a bit and brighten up your daily walk with the light of the world. See, there's another one-word description Jesus often used of himself, light. A wonderful word picture that we'll get to at another time. Well, and I just used another word, the word word. Another one that we'll get to at another time, at a later date. Our Lord Jesus used common experiences as channels for communicating great truths about God. In writing the evangelistic in purpose fourth gospel, that's what John meant with his gospel, evangelistic in purpose, the self-described beloved apostle John selected a variety of events in Jesus' life, along with a variety of his teachings, to communicate through Jesus' words great truths about God. In John 10, often called the Great Shepherd's chapter, John used the familiar to those of that time picture of the whole environment of sheep and of shepherds and of their everyday world. Jesus is the good shepherd who gathers his flock, gathers one flock, Jewish or Gentile, gathers them into the fold. Also in John 10, verses 14 and 16, he said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. Those would be the Jews. I have other sheep. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. The good shepherd guards and guides his sheep from every destructive force. This is also in chapter 10, verse 28. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And he also guides them into good pastures. Verse 3, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, in the midst of those many references to our Lord's ministry as the Good Shepherd, we also find that he identifies himself to be the door to the sheepfold. The door. This figure of speech was very familiar to those who lived then in the Middle East. The sheepfold was an enclosure into which sheep were brought together. They were brought there at night for protection from their natural enemies. And the shepherd took the sheep out to the pasture during the day and brought them to the sheepfold at night, out to get sustenance, in for protection and safety. And the shepherd, or the doorkeeper, would literally make his bed in the doorway to the sheepfold. You see, no enemy, no thief could enter without crossing the watchful body of the doorkeeper. And a sheep couldn't stray out during the night without crossing over the doorkeeper, the good shepherd's body. Our Lord Jesus was declaring himself to be the way, the doorway of entrance, and at the same time saying he is the keeper who provides security for all of those who enter, all the sheep. Thus, Christ is the door of entrance to the fold being the family of God the Father. This metaphor the Lord was prompted, it was, I think, likely prompted, when after Jesus had healed a blind man, the man was treated severely by those in charge of the temple. They banished him. It threw him out because he had favorable words to say about Jesus. By casting him out, they were in effect declaring themselves rather than Jesus to be the way of entrance to God. But Jesus understood their implication, and he boldly affirmed that he, rather than the religious institutions of that day, was the way. He was the open door to the Father God. And he continues for our day and forever to be the only door, the only doorway to the Father God. Amen. You know, we have learned and we know, and you can find out a lot about God by various methods of study, by lots of observation. For instance, we can learn something about the antiquity of God by studying our universe. We can also behold the intricacy and the delicacy of his creative activity by looking through a microscope. We can observe the beautiful artistic ability of God in the wonders and the patterns of nature. But it is through the door of Jesus Christ that we most accurately and most personally come to know God the Father. Jesus came into a world where many people thought of God as only a stranger. Through the door of Jesus, our thoughts of God are as our Father. We're his children, brothers and sisters in Christ. God is no stranger. Jesus came into a world and where many thought of God as an enemy. But when Christ spoke of himself as the Good Shepherd, he reveals the continuing concern of a loving Father. Then in the midst of his conversation about his relationship to the people as shepherd to the sheep, he uses the figure of the door to describe his role and his function in the ministry that he had. You see, Christ is the real door to real security. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. To be able to go in and out is to be able to move about in an environment that is absolutely safe and secure. And this is so meaningful to us. I think all of us are security seekers. This is true for the baby with his blanket. It's true for a businesswoman with her stock portfolio. It's true for the student working toward a college education, and so forth and so on. We're security seekers. On an international level, nations seek security through armaments and alliances. But truly, one of the basic needs of the human heart is security. And Jesus Christ is the doorway to security. Security from the past. All of us have made mistakes. Each one of us is a sinner. We all stand in need of forgiveness for the past. And only Jesus Christ can give us the security that we need at this point, knowing that through the door of Christ, our sin is behind us. Jesus is the doorway to security in the present. Truly, the only real security is spiritual. It's wonderful to have good health. It's good to have a quality education, to have fine friends, kind friends, have a prestigious position. But we need to be fully aware that many or all of these things that we lean on for security are temporary and transitory. In the final analysis, our only security is in the realm of the spiritual. Jesus Christ wants to be with us in all of the crises of life and to help us to be secure. And Jesus Christ is the doorway to security for the future. The security that Christ offers for the future is not found in things like military alliances or financial successes. He offers the security of the grace of God and through giving us the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, who's promised to never leave us or to forsake us. And when you sing about the grace of God, add to that the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, that'll be your next verse there. All right? And Christ is the door to perfect satisfaction. Satisfaction, to go in and to go out and to find pasture. It was the role of the good shepherd to bring the sheep into the sheepfold at the close of the day so they could be satisfied to rest in safety from their enemies during the night. It was also the function of the shepherd to lead the sheep out into the pastures and the watering places during the day. You see, the well-being of the sheep was always and completely dependent upon the shepherd's provision. Through Jesus Christ, we enter into a satisfying experience of the love of God. And with His help, we relate satisfactorily to others in terms of a Christian spirit. That is, a spirit that is persistent and unbreakable goodwill. In Jesus Christ, we experience the satisfaction of His opening the door to the freedom to be all that God wants us to be. And we share that door. We are to share that door, for Christ is the door for any person and for every person. And here it is. I told you I was going to repeat this from last week. The way. That was last week. Now, the door. Jesus Christ is the door out. He's the door in. He's the door through. And He's the door up. He's the door out of the confusion and the chaos that sin and carelessness brings into our lives. If you want to find your way out of your problems and your troubles, then go to Jesus Christ, who is the door, opening the way out of that, out of your troubles. Christ is the door in. No one likes to be an outsider. Jesus Christ is the door into a family, into the family of God. You know, we all want a meaningful and full life and a minimum of turmoil. And He's the doorway into abundant life and into peace. Jesus is the door through. Now, I know you know this, my friends, but no one knows what tomorrow holds. For some of us, it'll be joy. For others of us, it'll be sorrow. For some of us, it'll be prosperity. And for others, it'll be poverty. Some it may be health, and some it may be illness. But Jesus Christ wants to and will help us go through whatever life brings with attitudes that are positive and constructive and benevolent. Christ is the door up to the highest and best that people can experience. He's the door up to our highest possible manhood and womanhood. He is the door that opens up life of a true success. And most of all, Jesus, the Messianic Christ, is the door up to heaven, up to the Father of all holiness. So the word for today is, just let Christ be your door. Today, He, the door, is open for you to enter. And I say, walk right through to a full and meaningful life with God. Trust Him. Believe Him.